Morning, Boker Tov. Holding Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Towards the bottom of the page, we are holding Amar Vida Mashmuel around 6 or 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. Six, actually maybe even less. Yeah, like 6 lines up from the bottom of the page. Amar Vida Mashmuel. Seichet Adam Eshkol Shal Navim L'Seichet Deira. A person could squeeze a cluster of grapes. Here's a big issue. This is going to be a big focus of the whole Amar Aleph. The focus is going to be again on squeezing Schita, squeezing Paris and the like. And the chiddush of the day is going to be when you squeeze liquid into a solid or into a solid. So if the liquid comes from an eichel and you squeeze it, it goes directly into a solid. So it's eichel. While it's in the pre, it's eichel. It goes directly into another eichel, and therefore it's not going to be an issue. And then we're going to have a whole bunch of gadata on the second half of today's daf. So Amar Avidim Shmuel, Seichad Meshkel Shalavim Seichad Deir. A person could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a kedera, into a bowl, a pot of food. Avalele Seich Kara, not into a kara. So Rashi explains what's the chilek between a kedera and a kara. The symbol, the kedera, is talking about a case where there's a pot which already has a tafshil food inside it. So it's going directly into the food to help flavor, give flavor to the food. So Rashi explains it's not called a mashka. It's not a mashka. It's an eichel. It was the let's say this fruit, this grapes that he's eating while they're whole in the grapes. It's called an eichel. The issue is that when you squeeze it, you're creating juice, mashka, and separating a juice from the solid is the issue of mafarik. But over here, where the juice goes right into another eichel, it never was chal in a status of mashka, and therefore it's not a problem. However, not into a kara. Rashi says, "What's kara? Does it mashka a kara? Sometimes when it's in a pot, when it's in a kara, a plate, it's a bowl. It's left for the juice." Meaning, Rashi the kara is explaining even in a case where the person may be planning to ultimately put food into this liquid, into this juice. If right now it's in isolation by itself in the bowl, sometimes people do leave it as juice, and therefore even if his intent is to put it into food, still going to be a problem because right now it went through a period as to where it was clearly distinct as mashka. But in a case where it goes directly from the grapes into the food, even if you see it in the air dripping in, the juice is dripping into the food, that's fine. It never was chal in a status of mashka, and therefore it's okay, not an issa mafarik. In order to get a status of mafarik, it has to be separating the mashka from the eichel. If it was eichel and is eichel now, it's going to be permissible. Hence the fact that people squeeze, let's say, lemon onto fish on Shabbos, as long as you squeeze directly onto the fish, it's okay. Same idea of the mashka going directly into the eichel. Mishmur points out that when we do this, you shouldn't even use a spoon in between. Don't squeeze onto a spoon and then put the spoon in. That would be similar to this case of the kara of the plate, where even though ultimately it's going to be part of, even if the plan is ultimately to put it as part of a mixture of food, if there's a moment where it's in isolation, the liquid is separated and it's distinct, that'll make a problem. So you should make it direct and you should not even put a spoon in between. Okay. Amar Rav Chizda Medivar Rabbeinu Nomad. From the words of Rabbeinu, we learned, a person can squeeze milk a goat and put it into a pot. Same general idea. A person can milk a goat and put it directly into a pot of food. However, he can't put it into gara. Again, we've spoken out before in the past. Milking an animal is a melacha of mefarik. We did have earlier in the mesechta from Tesfus that we discussed that chaylev is also can be considered an issue of memachik, of smoothing out. But in Agamar's purposes, it seems pretty clear that Agamar is focused more on the issue of mafarik. Tesis Sovia points out a different point. Tesis Sovia points out that we have to be talking about on Yom Tov. Dafka Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. Why? Because on Shabbos, the goat itself is muktzah. A goat's asa, a goat is useless. On Yom Tov, it's mutter because you can shech the goat and eat it as food. Since it's mutter, it's a davar mutter, it's eichel right now, and you're squeezing out the milk from the goat directly into a pot of food, which is vayter eichel. There's no mafarik going on over here. However, on Shabbos, where you can't eat the goat, so even though you're squeezing the milk from the goat out of the goat directly into food, it's still an issue because it's coming from a davar muktzah. Tais lashon is really the other way. We have this lashon in the Gemara. Brings it that uchlud de afrit. If you have food that comes out of food, that's all food, and that's okay. Whereas and that's a yom tiv. On Shabbos, it's not eichel that comes out of food. It's eichel that comes out of a davar muktzah, and therefore it would be problematic on Shabbos. It would be an issue, seemingly of schita. Even it would be an issue of schita of dush separating the milk, which is permissible for the animal, which is aser on Shabbos, even if it's going directly into another food, it still presents an issue because it's coming from a place of iser. Okay, says Mar Alma Kasavar Mashka Balechel Gaychelu. We see that Shmuel holds Shmuel's psak that we allow squeezing into a food. As the memory started off today was from Rida Mishmuel. We see Shmuel holds that Eichel Mashka that comes to the food is considered a food. Masavar Mechama. 1 second, not so fast. Zav Shechelu as a Ace Achalov Tami. A Zav If a zav milks a goat, the milk is tamei. Now we know, we had this yesterday. We know that in order for something to have tuma, has to come in contact with the zayin mashkim. Now, if until it comes to contact with the zayin mashkim, it's not stuff of tuma. If you mashka b'leichon eichelu b'mayis kasher, if you say that milk is going directly into food, it's called a food, it's an eichel, then the mara assumes it doesn't have a status of mashka. If it doesn't have a status of mashka, because it's an eichel, if it doesn't have a status of mashka, then with what was the mukshu l'kabatuma? So even if it's a zav who's doing the act of milking the goat over here, it still should not be tuma here because the food never had hechsher. The milk itself is eichel. Because Shmuel says that mashka that goes right into food, into eichel, is called eichel. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, b'tipa machachas p'yadad, like Rabbi Yochanan answered the guy a different question, that it's the first tipa that makes moist on the dad of the isha, on the breast of the woman. So to over here, hachanami b'tipa machachas p'yadad, that initial milk that comes out actually helps facilitate more milk to come out. That initial milk that comes out onto the breast or onto the udder by the animal helps facilitate more milk to come out. That initial milk, which is not going into the other food, it's there just to moisten up the dad, that initial milk, that is going to be the mashka, and that makes it mukshul kabatuma, everything else that comes out. So you're right, even though the rest that comes out is an eichel, it's mukshul kabatuma, idea that initial liquid that was on the dad, and that is still called, that initial liquid is called the mashka. Master Ravina. Ravina has another question. Excellent, yes, excellent. So sit tight. The Mara is going to actually answer that with the next question. Very good. The Mara is going to ask another question, Shmuel, and the answer the Mara is going to bring is exactly your answer, Yasel, that we're talking about by a kara, not a kadera. Very good. So Masar Avina, Tamei Meis Shishachat Zeis Vanavim, a Tamei Meis that squeezed Zeis Vanavim, top of Kuf Mavim Nalev, Kibetsa Mechvenas Tar. If it's exactly the Shiva Beitza, it's Tar. Again, what's the logic? Let's go further. Hayesek Beitza Tamei. If it's more than Kibetsa, then it's going to be Tamei. Now, the idea is as follows. The Lach is that food that's Tamei can only convey Tuma, can only give off Tuma, when what? When it's a share of a Kibetsa. Food can only convey Tuma when it's a share of a Kibetsa. So we're saying, if it's exactly Kibetsa, it can't give off Tuma, because the second you squeeze the drop out, you need a drop to be machshir. The second you squeeze the drop out to be machshir, you don't have a full kebeah left. Remember, there's exactly a kebeah's worth over here in this of the zayis of an oven. The zayis or the oven was exactly a shear of a kebeitza. And therefore, once you squeeze the drop out, you no longer have a kebeitza. So you mean machshir what? Not a shear. Less than a shear. Can't give a tumah. Therefore, one of a tumah. However, if it's more than a shear of kebeitza, you squeeze a little out, it's machshirit, and then you still have the shear of tumah. So the tumah mace is squeezing it. So now you have the rest of it, we'll be able to give a tumah. Says the Gemara of Yamrit. If you're the again, when it's more than kibetz, was a diik. We're saying if it's exactly kibetz, it doesn't give off tuma. We're medayik. Ha! Huh, if it's more than kibetz, it will give off tuma. But why? If it's going into a food, why does it give off tuma? V'yam mashka b'leichel eichelu. If you say that mashka that comes out of eichel, a mashka that's going into eichel, I should say, is an eichel, but my is kasher. Then why is it? Then there's no mashka here. It all, everything you squeezed out was eichel. How is eichel going to be machsher? Right to the same type of question right before on based on Shmuel's idea that when you squeeze that liquid into food, it's considered a food. Answers the Gemara who. You're right. If you're squeezing it directly into a pot, a kadera of food, then you're right. They wouldn't have tuma. What's the case of this memra? Where you're squeezing it into an empty bowl. Yasel, this is exactly what you want to answer the last Gemara. Right? The Gemara says over here, very good, that we're talking about squeezing it into an empty bowl. When it's an empty bowl, then of course it's not going to be, it's not going to eichel. It's not going to eichel. It won't be eichel. It will be considered of liquid. Says the Gemara right there. This discussion, whether liquid that's extracted from to be put into food is considered eichel or not, is machlik tanayim. Hamachlik banavim, one who smooths out, that's lashon smooths, it means he rubs onto his bread. He's rubbing onto his bread, anavim, grapes. What he's doing is, it's kind of like what we do with, we coat that, like our danishes or our bread, our challahs, we coat them with like a layer of like eggs, I think, I'm not sure if it's full eggs or egg whites, we coat it with a layer of eggs in order to give like a little bit of a shine. So that they used to do, these to coat it with grape juice. So what's the shaila is, does that make it mukshir, the kapatam leichshir? So says the first Tana says, the grape juice that's being rubbed on the bread does not make a mukshir the kapatam. Why? In the chayitz juice? Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Mukshir, he says, it is Mukshir. My lab was Machlaikis. How come if he has Machlaikis? Master of Mashka Balechel Echlu, Master of Abbechel. It's a very simple explanation based on our discussion. Whether or not liquid that's going directly into food is called Echel or not. The one who says that's Mukshir holds that's not called the food, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that it's considered liquid still and it's Mukshir. Whereas Tanakama says, like we were saying from this discussion that we brought from Shmuel, is Mamashis Machlaikis. Tanakama over here says, like Shmuel says, again, obviously Tanakama predated Shmuel, we're talking about the Tanam over here, but Tanakama says that it's the Anav, because it's going directly into the food, it's going into the bread, it's considered an eichel, and therefore it will not be a machshuret. Side question that some of you may be wondering, that if we know that something was mukhash kabatumma, I did come in contact with water, so why on earth is this bread? By the time you get the bread, you have obviously flour and water, the two main ingredients, in bread. It obviously came in contact with water long before you're mixing this grape juice into it, right? It's something, right? In order to make the dough, the mixture, you clearly have to put water in there. So the water, Yad Shechadam, the last letter, Mem, the Mayim, refers to Mayim. Mayim is clearly one of the Zayin Mashkas, one of the seven liquids that makes them Sept of Tumah. So this should be Sept of Tumah anyway because it came in contact with water. A simple explanation can be is that we're talking about a case where you do not use water in the mixture. This is a very modern day, the concept existed way back when, but this is the modern day way of making what we call Mezainis breads. Use fruit juice. If you use fruit juice instead of mayim, fruit juice does not necessarily have the din of fruit juice. Remember, yayin, we said, and olive oil, grape juice from grapes and juice from olives, those are from the Zayim Mashkim. Other juice from other fruits are not part of the Zayim Mashkim. We put that answer for the Ran, and we spoke, that's perhaps why the Mishnah focused on why Zayim and Anavim specifically have a din Daraisa. We said maybe because the Zayim Mashkim, or maybe it's exactly the other way, but either, maybe it's the opposite direction. But the point is, those are unique. Other fruit juices do not have a din of Mashkim, they do not have a din of Zayim Mashkim to Machsher. So we talk on the about a bread that was made with fruit juices that would take care of that issue. Okay, but the point is, the Gemara wants to suggest that Shmuel's halacha is a machlekes tanaim. The Gemara is gonna bring two other options of the pshat and the machlekes in this brayse, these tanaim, to deflect and say no, maybe Shmuel's din is not the machlekes. We have two other explanations. Amar Papa, Rapa says, I'll tell you as follows: the kulam amashka baleichel lav reichel. There's actually machlekes in the girsa here. The going to what the girsa we have. This is the girsa that Tais brings. The kulam amashka baleichel lav reichel. I'll tell you, everyone agrees that mashka comes with the food is not called the food. Meaning, everyone sides with Shmuel's halacha. Jump into that attack. The second text of the page. Let me see the maimon. Don't be gairus to kula'ama eichel. Don't say everyone's gairus. The opposite Shmuel. That mashka that comes to food is considered a food. I'm sorry. Let me see maimon to kula'ama eichel. Yes. MK, my time to manda mahuksher. Meaning, Rav Papa's gairus is to kula'ama mashka bal eichel is lav eichel. Why? Sorry. I was saying which is not like Shmuel. The gears that was saying of Papa, that Tais has, is not like Shmuel. That everyone agrees, it's lav eichel. Why? So Tais says, because if it would be eichel, how could any opinion of the Brisa say that it's machshel kapatum? And one of them, Rav Yehuda, is saying, clearly it's machshir, it has to be liquid, otherwise it won't be machshir. It must be it's liquid, and still there is some other machlekes that is Tais' gears of the Gemara, and it comes out that the kulama is not like Shmuel. However, the Gaon brings from different Mishnayim that are already quote from the Gaonim that they have the girsa opposite. They indeed have the girsa opposite Taisvus, and their girsa is to klam mashka bal eichel. Eichel. I'll tell you about the case of standard mashka bal eichel is eichel, which would be like Shmuel. That's how others have a girsa. Okay, but either way, the next line is what did you do with Taisvus' question? With Taisvus' question that I say if it's eichel, how could it be? How could it make a machshir? So even that they want to say that if it's considered one entity with the bread, if it's considered one, then it's not machshir. If it's considered a totally separate outside entity, then it's still going to be. It's going to be able to machshir. It was interesting, even though we're calling it an eichel, and somehow I'll be able to machshir. Again, you still have to address Tais's question, but they do have a girsa that supports Shmuel that says that everyone's going to agree it's called eichel. But what's the machlekes then? The achah mashka bali ibi kamifik. The machlekes over here is mashka that's about to be destroyed. Marsever that mashka is about to be destroyed is called a mashka, Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's machshir. It's still machshir the bread. Marsever mashka, and the other one says it's not considered mashka. Why is the mashka over here by the grape juice on the bread about to be destroyed? So Rashi explains because the way it worked was when you put this layer, this little juice on top of the bread, and you put it into the oven, the first thing that got burnt up in the oven was this grape juice. You put this grape juice on top of the bread, on top of the dough, you put it in the oven, and right away the grape juice got burnt up. So it was highly clean, but really, maybe it was almost there as a protection to make sure the bread doesn't get burnt. The mashka burnt in its place, but either way, maybe that's what helped give it the shine, but it's ultimately it's destined to be burnt, so that's called Heil Chlibin. So Rabbi Yehuda says that's still called the Mashka, and therefore it would be Machshir Lekapal Tumah. It's still called a Machshir to make the bread rather Kapal Tumah, whereas Tanakama says not. Says more Pukta Tanai, and this Machlaikis is the same Machlaikis, says Machlaikis Tanakama Yehuda, whether a Mashka which is Heil Chlibin is called a Machshir, is the following Machlaikis, the time went to the Baisa, Habafatseh, Bezetsim Yadayim, Mesavais. One who is squeezing olives with the hands that are, Mesavais means like dirty, but over here means like Tumah. I mean, hands that weren't washed to get rid of any chashash of tumah. So what's the halacha? Hukshir. They become mukshir, the kabbal tumah, with the oil that drips from them, from the olive itself. Okay, so that's only if he's squeezing them. What's he doing? He's squeezing the zeisim in order to sweeten the zeisim. However, if he's squeezing them in order to be able to get salt into them, he wants to make it softer that they should absorb salt, then it doesn't come achshir. Meaning, what's the idea? The idea is that, according to his opinion, that since you're doing it only in order for it to get salt, but you don't want the mashka, so therefore it's mashka yichli ibn, and therefore it does not make a mukhshir kapatuma. If he's squeezing it to see whether it's ripe or not, so again, also not mukhshir. Again, it's yichli ibn, it's not mukhshir. Rida says mukhshir, even in that case, it's mukhshir. And notice, by the way, I didn't notice when I was preparing it, Rabbi Huda, it's the same Rabbi Huda that I was saying in this machlekes by the putting the grape juice on the bread. Rabbi Yehuda says mukhshir. Sarakab said mukhshir. Here too, it's Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's mukhshir. This olive juice is going to be mukhshir, and we want to say it's the same machlekes. The master of mashka yichli ibud mashku. Rabbi Yehuda says mashku, which is destined to be destroyed, it's going right to be destroyed, still has the power of being able to machshir kol zman, that it touches him before it gets destroyed. It touches the fruit, it touches him before it gets destroyed. Umar sever la mashku and tzadikama. It's not a machshir. So the same exact machlekes and read that tzadikama. The gabi these olives over here. The gabi this other conversation is a machlekes. The gabi the grape juice on the gabi the juice of the grapes on the bread. Same machlekes. That's what Rav Papa explains. And nothing to do with mashka that's going directly into food, keeping the status of a food or not. That was the machlekes of the grape juice on the bread. A set machlekes about mashka shahilik le'ibud. That is her papa's explanation. Mar brings a third explanation in the machlekes of the grape juice going out the bread. Again, explanation number one is mamash asugya. Grape juice into bread, is that called eichel? And therefore it's not machshirit? Or is it called mashka? And it is machshirit. Explanation number two is machlekes about that juice mashkwitz is shahilik le'ibud, which is going to be immediately destroyed. According to the Tanakama, if it's going to be destroyed, it's not machshir, according to Behuda. It is machshir, and we put another machlekes, Tanakama Behuda, to back it up. Now we have a third malach, but he deflects it by saying as follows. Amar Ravuna Bar Yeshua, Hani Tanay Mashka Amin Libet Pliki. This last machlekes you just quoted by the olives, for sure was a discussion whether or not the mashka is going to be, that's about to be destroyed, it's meant to be destroyed, meant to be discarded, whether that's machshir or not. That you're correct. However, the machlekes earlier about the bread and the grape juice is not that machlekes. Hanach Tanay Mashka Amin Libet Pliki. The machlekes earlier between the whether the grape juice that's give the anavim there to give the bread a shine, that machlekes is hagufa, when something that's coming to give the food a shine, is that called, it's not considered halachic, but he's arguing saying it's halachic, but it's giving the food a shine, but hagufa, that itself is a shine, is that called an eichel, is that called a mashka or not? Is that called a mashka to be machshel kabatum or not? Amar b'zeir marav chibar ashi amar rav, seichet adam eshkel shanavim seichet era avalei seich kara. A person can squeeze a cluster of grapes into a kedera. That's similar to what we have, exactly on the same level we have from Shmuel when we started today, but not into a bowl. That's exactly word for word so far. V'dug, he adds the following halacha. V'dug, let's see, refilos akara, and a fish could be squeezed of its brine even to a bowl. Chiddush like this: when you squeeze a fish from the fish brine, even if it's not going directly into food, the fish brine itself has the status of an eichel. The fish brine is not considered a mashka, it's considered an eichel, and therefore when you squeeze the fish brine out of the fish, even into an empty bowl, it's still okay. Not going to be a problem because you don't view it as seichet, as if you're squeezing out a mashka liquid from an eichel. It's eichel meichel, just like if you squeeze that part of the fish, the actual fish meat, wouldn't be a problem. It's eichel meichel. So too, the fish brine is considered eichel meichel. Yes, Rav Dimi, come with us. Right, Rav Dimi, saying all this memory about Rav Dimi. Shavai said, Rav Dimi, atam eshbeid Rav Masinu loy kashlehu. You just said this memory, so we point out when we read it. It was Amar Abzeir, Amar Chia, Barashi, Amar Rav. We pointed out that memory starts off word for word the same memory Shmuel. Seichad Abeshku Shalom Seichadera Banan Zakara. Same memory we have for Shmuel, but now it's just being said in the name of Rav. That's the same memory, but then you added in Rav that by Doug Letzira, Doug for its brine, it's also going to be permissible. Even if it's not going to food, even if it's going to empty bowl, but again, you're adding that member of Doug in the name of Rav. So you say the name of Rav, you're not going to have any questions. Anan, but us, Mishmei Deshmuel Masim Lav Vekashlam. However, us, Abaye said, we had the memory you just said, including the member of the fish brine in the name of Shmuel, and therefore we're left with the question. The Mark explains what the question is. Did Shmuel say, when you squeeze out the fish brine from the fish is also going to be permissible even into an empty bowl? Vayitmar, we learned as follows, kvashim shezachtam, we're going to have three machlekes about the different types of vegetables. Now, we have vegetables, something that can be pickled. There's an idea of pickled vegetables. We have also a discussion that kavish kim avushal, pickled is like cooking. That's not really going to be the focus of here, but we are going to make a distinction between pickled and cooked vegetables. And the distinction is going to be, to what extent do we say the juice that comes out of it is liquid, is mashka, and to what extent that it's considered food? Just to give a basic preface, it's going to be clear in the Gemara that the cooked vegetables, the juice that comes out of it is more likely to be considered eichel than mashka. Whereas by pickled vegetables, over there, they may have more likely to retain a status of mashka. That's going to be exactly the conversation. Let's see. So says the memra, kvashim shadachton, pickled vegetables. Amar Rav Legufan, if you're squeezing pickled vegetables, Rav says, Legufan, if you're squeezing it in order to make them ready to eat, mutter, that's permissible. Leave it main, but if you want the liquid, patalvasa. So sometimes you squeeze out the liquid to make the food more, either not as bitter, or you just want to make it less juicy, you want to make it fit to eat, so you're squeezing it out to get rid of it, that's okay. But if you're doing it because you want the juice, that is usur midrabanim. Midrabanim is not a problem because it's not considered, it's viter, not considered a real schit, it's not a davar that's nomi nischat, it's not considered a real liquid that people utilize, and therefore it's not a raisa, but durabanim, it's going to be usur, that is rav shita. Ushlaka is by pickled. Ushlaka is and by when it comes to cooked vegetables that are cooked. Whether you squeeze it out for the liquid, whether you squeeze it out in order to make them the vegetables itself less juicy and more ready to eat. Either way, mutter, it's not going to be a problem. It's going to be mutter by the shlaka, because, like you pointed out before, by cooked vegetables, the liquid itself, according to Rav, clearly has more of a status of eichel. The liquid itself is eichel. It doesn't make difference why you're squeezing it out. It's vayter eichel and not an issue. Okay, that's Rav. Shmuel says, Echad kvasim ve'echad shlakas. He says no. We don't make a distinction between pickled and between cooked. Either way, the gufan, if you're squeezing it out, just to kind of disregard it, you don't want the juice. You just want to make the vegetables ready to eat, less juicy, in order to make it more fit to eat. Then it's fine. It's mutter. However, the mimei and patavas. In both cases, Shmuel says if it's being done for the liquid, if you want the liquid, then it's not aser midraisa. It's aser midrabanan. So the problem is if Shmuel is saying that even by pickled, even by cooked vegetables, that when you squeeze out the juices, we say even if you want to eat these juices, we don't consider eichel. We consider liquid. So certainly by fish, we want to say the same idea. Certainly, or maybe it's just huadin. It's by the same token, by fish, according to Shmuel, the brine that comes out of the fish should be considered a mashka, not an eichel. It should be at least aser midrabanan, patlav aser. So Rav l'shitasa is good. Shmuel wouldn't be good. So Abaye says, according to you, that agarish that it's Rav, it's very good. According to me, I have this member named Shmuel. I have a problem. Amalei, Sir David said, Holy Kim, lashon shvua. Any Rav Lezar, I have a clear Messiah that it was Taka Rav, meaning he wasn't arguing, he was saying, he was just doubling down and saying, Lashon Shvua, yes, you're saying you have the name of Shmuel, you have a question, don't let your question bother you. I know I have a clear Messiah directly chain Ish B'Piyash from Rav, that it was Rav's member, not Shmuel, and therefore you no longer have an issue of a stira in the member of Shmuel. Now we're going to quote the thing I already said before, the three Shitas. Now we're going to bring the third Shita, Legabi, this topic we brought Rav and Shmuel. There's going to be a third Shita, it was more Machmer, namely Rabbi Yochanan. Let's see it. Gufa, kvash mishachton, pickled vegetables that were squeezed. You squeeze out the juice. So it depends again why you squeeze it out. Amrav legufan, if you do it because you want to make the food ready to eat, you want to make the vegetables ready to eat, so you're just kind of ridding yourself of the juice. Mutter, it's mamish mutter to do it. Limimim, if you want the juice from it, then it's patavasa. It's not something which is squeezed at a derisa level. It's not considered something which you squeeze for its juice, but a person who's doing it for the juice is going to be usher midrabanan on Shabbos. Ushlakais and cooked vegetables, pain the gufim in the main, whether you're doing it to make the vegetable more fit to eat, or whether you want actually the liquid, either way it's mutter, because we consider that the liquid of cooked vegetables is considered eichel, like the food itself, kind of like we said with the fish brine. The fish brine, the liquid is like the food itself, and therefore it's not considered a mashka, and therefore it's not going to be mefarik. It's totally mutter according to Rav. Shmuel argues, Shmuel says, no, echazer, we don't make a distinction between cooked and pickled. Cooked vegetables and pickled vegetables have the same status, and we say by both as follows: leguf and mutter, if it's being done for themselves to make the vegetable more fit to eat. Sometimes they say that squeezing out some liquid would sweeten it a little bit. But either way, whatever the point of squeezing it out to make the vegetable fit to eat, you're not doing it for the mashka, that's mamish mutter, the memeim. But if you're doing it for the mashka, patra avlasar, that is asam midrabanan. In both cases, Rishmul, really the only place of contention between Shmuel and Rav is in this case of, in the case of shlakas. By shlakas, by cooked vegetables, where it's being done for the juice, for the liquid, the memeim, Rav says it's still permissible because shlakas, the juice is considered like eichel, and Shmuel saying, that's going to be asr midrabanan. Okay. Rabbi Yechon says, Echavash v'echashlagais, both by pickled and by boiled vegetables, in both cases, leguf and mutter, if you're doing it to get rid of the juice, then it's taka, it's mutter. So he's masking lekula, that it's mutter in both cases. But look at the opposite side. Lemei mayhem, chayev chatas. He says, if you're squeezing out for its juice, and you purposely want the juice by cooked or pickled, in both cases, there's a chiv of chatas. Opposite extreme is not only is asam midrabanan, like Shmuel says in both cases, asam midrabanan. Rav says asam midrabanan by pickled, not by cooked. Shmuel says us midaraisa by both. Rabbi Yechiel says us midaraisa by both. If you want the liquid, it's always us across the board midaraisa. Meis face the Maris Kasha on all three shitas. The price seems to go against all three shitas. So Yechiel Kavashim Shabbos Shabbos Derech Shabbos. You could squeeze pickled vegetables and Shabbos for the need of Shabbos. Avleil Mitz Shabbos, but not for the need of Mitz Shabbos. You can't squeeze for something which for after Shabbos. Vezeis Vanavim olives and grapes. Lo Yischait. You shouldn't squeeze. Vimsachat Chayiv Chatas. If you squeeze it, you Chayiv Chatas. Now the price first of all makes no chiluk between pickled. In order to get the liquid out, or in order to make it fit to eat, it just says across the board that pickles mutter, and all the amaram involved make distinctions whether it's being done for the food to make the food right to eat, or whether it's being done for the juice. All of them pointed out distinction by pickled. Even Rav only said that by boiled it doesn't make a difference, but by pickled Rav agrees that if it's being done to make the food edible, then it's fine. If it's being done for the juice, it's asr at least midrabanan. This price, if you say no problem, as long as you're doing it for Shabbos purposes, totally mutter, and it makes no distinction whether you're doing it make the food edible to eat, or whether you're doing it for the juice. L'chor it's kasher Rav kasher Shmuel kasher Rav Yechiel it's kasher on all three. Amaram, the Gemara is going to reinterpret the brisa and explain it each amira according to a shita, very fairly straightforward. Ram tatsame, Shmuel tatsame, Rav Yechiel tatsame. All three amaram are going to be mitaretz this brisa according to their reasoning. Ram tatsame, seichtin kvashim. One is allowed to squeeze pickled vegetables b'Shabbos, avleil mitz Shabbos. So you're allowed to squeeze pickled vegetables b'Shabbos. For Shabbos need, but not for Mitz Shabbos needs. By Medvam Amurim Legufan, so Rav will stick in his shita Legufan. That's not when you need it in order to make the vegetable fit to eat. That's when it's permissible. That's when it's permissible. Chachila Avimeim. If you're doing it for the juices, then Taku you put the Vaser. Again, the Brisa didn't say those words. Medvam Amurim, Rav is sticking it. Would stick into the Brisa. But Medvam Amurim, when we say it's mutter unequivocally, was Legufan. When you're doing it to make the vegetable fit to eat, but when you're doing it because you want the juice itself, that would be a problem at least on a rabbinic level. Ushlakais and Shlakais pay the Gufan. In the mamam, when it comes to cooked vegetables, whether it's the gufan or even the mamam, that's going to be fully mutter. That's fully mutter. So when the Braisa seems to not make a distinction, we're saying by kvashim, which the Braisa is speaking about pickled vegetables, there should be a distinction. If it's being done for the liquid, it would be usser. But there would be no distinction by shlakas, by cooked vegetables, that'll be mutter no matter what. That is how Rav interprets the Braisa. And the Braisa ends off as eis v'anavim, grapes and olives, lo yischa, one should not squeeze them. Vimsach to chayv chatas, of course, that's classic. One's chayv chatas, because that is definitely meant for its mashka, and therefore one would be chayv chatas. That's how Rav answers it. Shmuel b'tatzmei, Shmuel answers according to his reasoning. Remember, Shmuel makes no chiluk between kvashim and shlakas. So from that perspective, the fact that there's no chiluk between pickled and cooked, that's good according to Shmuel, but we still have the problem that we're saying over here, we're making no chiluk between whether you're doing it for the purpose of the vegetable or whether you're doing it for the juice. Says the Gemara, Shmuel matasamei seichtim kvashim b'Shabbos tzerech Shabbos. Who had din l'shlakais, and the same deal would be not just by pickled vegetables, also by cooked vegetables, because Shmuel makes no distinction. However, he still has to make the same qualification like Rav. When's it permissible when you're doing it for themselves, for the vegetable itself? You're squeezing out the liquid to make the vegetables fit to eat, but you're not doing it for the liquid. Avam mamei, but if you're doing it for the liquid, then don't say it's fully mutter. Rather, patava. So it'll be mutter on a biblical level, but it would still be aser midrabanan. V'seis v'anavim, and come seis v'anavim le'yischit. One should not squeeze those on Shabbos. And of course, imsachah chayv chatas. That's a classic case of issur shechita. And Rabbi Yechiel, this is one that needs the most massaging. Rabbi Yechiel tatzamei seichten kvasim mitzerech Shabbos avoloi lematz Shabbos. One can squeeze vegetables, pickled vegetables for Shabbos, not for matz Shabbos. Echad kvas mechashlakas. Again, no distinction between pickled or cooked. The same, that's a mechashita. Like Shmuel, doesn't make a distinction. However, brenda amurim, legufan. Tafka when it's being done, leguf, is it mutter? And that's still the same. He holds tak when it's being done to make the vegetable fit to eat. That's mutter. Avam meim, here's where Bechon is the most machmer. He said, it's a chiv deraisa. Avam meim, leyeschait, vim sachat. Actually, so it's a nice little knesh, you could say. Vim sachat, nasa kemisha sachat zeis v'anavim, chayv chatas. He slides right into that, then the braisa. The braisa, when it jumped to zeis v'anavim, it wasn't just some distinct case where there's a chiv schit deraisa. We're saying, even by the shlakais, even by the kvashim, by these cooked or pickled vegetables, if one squeezes it in order to get the juice out, it's no different than zeis v'anavim, which is what? Which is chayv. That's how Rabbi Yechiel will interpret the Braisa. All three to Amaram able to interpret the Braisa according to their own opinions. Amar Chibashi, Amar Rav. Dvar Taira, Inechayv Eladrisa Zeisav Anam Vad. Minat Taira, Taka, the only squeezing that one's chayv on a biblical level is Dafka, olives, and grapes. Those are things that are meant. They're meant for the juice. Their primary usage is for the juice, and therefore one's only chayv Minat Taira for squeezing olives and grapes of Shabbos, other items that may be nisra rabbanan, but you're not going to be chiv deraisa because it's not considered it's derech schita b'kach. It's not considered the primary usage is for the liquid. One is only chayv for drisas zeis v'anavim. Now we're going to get sidetracked because once we quoted this author, we continue with the braisa that has a different halacha from the same author, a different halacha, which will take us to the mission of Beis. The eight ain't eight b'peid kasher and eight b'peid. That means That means you don't have the testimony directly for the witness. It's a witness on behalf of that's coming from that he heard it from another witness. So Eid is typically not kosher, except where Tap Amabez El Eidus Isha Bavad, only for Eidus Isha Amlibel. So Tap Rashi, when to say that a woman's husband died, we don't want to have her be an aguna. So there are butter one make with the Eidus of Isha. There are butter found different leniencies with Eidus of Isha. As a matter of fact, another woman is never even to testify that the woman's husband died, and the concept is really twofold. There are butter one make with Eidus Isha. Because if we find out that it's not true that there was that the husband was taka really alive, then we throw the book at her. She becomes usher to both the new husband, the old husband, the kids come there. We throw the book at her. We treat her very stringently. But the ma'isa, even so, just because we want machmer in her, and that creates a certain. Step one is we don't have agunas. In order not to have agunas, we want to be more lenient in what we accept for edus. But being more lenient can lead to problem that women get married, even though they're not really widows. They're not really fit to get married. So the rabbanu machmer lipsayif that what the outcome is if she relies on shvach testimony and ultimately the husband's still alive, we throw the book at her, and therefore we're machmer her lipsayif, and therefore we can be confident that she's going to really get down to the bottom of it and make sure that she really knows her husband's dead before getting married. Otherwise, she's going to face the major consequences later. But there's still a basic issue. It's very nice that we're being mekel metchilu because of aguna, because we're based on the power of being machlam safe. But at the end of the day, in a Torah, in order for a woman to be mutter to get married, you need to have either edus that she's either a get or edus that her husband's dead. So how would be mekel more than the din of Torah? So that's what Tap Rashi sticks in. We do have this concept of afkui rabbanu tishmi. Rashi applies over here the concept that called makadosh that rabbanu makadosh, and part of the das of the kedushin initially is that if the rabbanu see fit to uproot the kedushin to say retroactively wasn't kedushin, they could do that, and this is case where they apply that power. Interesting explanation of Rashi, why, how we're making on the Eidus of Anisha. Okay, so that's Eidus is only Mutter, but the Eidus of Anisha. Ibailu, Eidus of Bechor. What about the Eidus of Bechor? What about the Eidus of Bechor? We're talking about specifically about the Din of Mesas Bechor, about a Kayan who receives an animal, a Bechor, from a person from a Yisrael, which he has to bring as a carbon on the Mizbeach. He doesn't want to. He'd rather shecht in his backyard, especially when the Beis Mikdash is not around. Certainly over there, he has no option to shecht in the Beis Mikdash. He has to wait for it to get a mum. So there's always a chashash, the kind of more matal mum. They conveniently make sure a mum goes into the Beima in order to facilitate, to speed up the process of him being able to shechta in his backyard. So the halacha was put into place that a kohen has to bring edim to testify that he didn't make the mum, that the mum happened naturally. So says the Gemara Shaila, Ibel Empi Eidus Bechar Mao, could you have Emepi Eid? Is that sufficient Eidus for Eidus Bechar for that gazir, for that din, that you need Eidus to say that the Kohen didn't put the mum into the Bechar himself? Is Emepi Eid sufficient? Rav Ami says, no good. Rav Ashari says, it is good. Rav Ashari says that it could be. You could use aid. Ami Ram Levasi, Ami such a Vasi. Hatanid Beim Nashia. Aid Kasher. Ella Eidus Isha Bavad. We said aid is only Kasher Eidus Isha. Isn't that a raya that Daf Eidus Isha and not even this Eidus for Bechar? So he says back. Aimel Eidus Isha Ksheir Bavad. Kshemak Achap. That no. Aimepay is only kosher. Don't read it as for Eidus Isha to be Matan Isha. Only for any type of testimony that Isha is kosher. One of the people that are kosher to testify that the Kayan did not put a mum in a Bechar is an Isha. Unlike regular testimony in court, for these purposes, a woman goes to testify, I know for sure that the Kayan didn't put a mum in the Kachem. I saw the Kachem got the mum, the Bechar got the mum directly by itself. That's sufficient. So Rav Ashi says back to Rav Ami, don't read it that the only time Eid is kosher is by Eidus of Isha, be Matan Isha. Rather, read it by Eidus that Isha is qualified to testify. Any Eidus that a woman could testify is going to be kosher also Eid Mepi Eid, and therefore this case of Kayan would be permissible by the Bechar to have Eid Mepi Eid be the Eidus. Okay, Rav Yemer Achshir, Eid Mepi Eid the Bechar, Rav Yemer the Maisa was Machshir, Eid Mepi Eid the Bechar like Rav Asi, Kari Alei, Mremar, Yemer Shari Bechar. So Mremar called him, Yemer the one is Mat the Bechar, however, Hilchus of the Maisa was Alacha, Eid Mepi Eid, Kasher Alachas, Eid Mepi Eid is Taka Kasher, the Bechar, like the Mekel the Keshita, like Rav Yemer, and like Rav Asi. Okay. Chalas Tavash. Sorry, there's one more smoke mar before the Mishnah. Chalas Tavash, we said the Mishnah that if you have honeycombs that were chopped open for Shabbos and the honey's oozing out by itself on Shabbos, then we said from the Tanakhama it's still Aser, because it's ending oozing out on Shabbos is a problem that you make them to do squeezing, like clearly make them to squeeze on Shabbos, and it's a problem. Whereas Rabbi Lazar, the Mishnah was Matarit, Kiyas Rav Aishim, Adar, Mesh, Kim, Adar, Asvais, Mesh, 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 the juice is oozing out by itself on Shabbos. Asurim is Asur. Rav Lazar, Rav Shemater, Matir, Rav Lazar, Shemater, which is really identical to the din of the Mishnah. The din of the Mishnah was case by the honeycombs, and here we're saying by Zeisim and Avim. Again, in both cases, chap before Shabbos, Tanakam says Asur, and Rav Lazar is Matir. The only difference over here is, besides being Zeisim and Avim instead of honeycombs, we're adding Rav Shimon It's Rabbi Elazar. Amar Beis Beis says Gavri Seras Lashminun. So what's the point to bring this Brisa? It's our Mishnah. It's my Mishnah. Different Mishnah. You adding Rabbi Shimon to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. Is that the whole point? To just tell us that Rabbi Elazar has another sheet that goes like him? Was that the value of the memory they're bringing? I'm going to buy you no Tuba Kamash Milan. He must see son. He's a big chiddush over here. Why? Because if in the Mishnah alone, having now say Hasamu Dafka over there by the honeycomb, it was Rabbi Elazar Mater. They make our Uchla Vasef Uchla. Let's think what's going on here. Honey could be considered a food. Honeycomb is a solid. It's good and compact and together as like a solid food. When you crack open the wax and you let the honey ooze out, even honey that's oozing out still be considered have a status of eichel. And maybe dafka there was matter. But liquids of grape juice, where of grapes or olives, where originally was a grape or olive, that's considered food. And now it's mamish juice, it's considered fully a mashka. Maybe there they'd be maskim its usher. Says Gemara, mekar uchla v'seif uchla. That's where Lazar is lenient in our Mishnah. Aval hacha, mekar uchla v'seif mashka. Emelay, maybe say it's usher. Kamash malan, that even here it's going to be mutter as well. So the chiddush isn't there. Shimon size Rabbi Elazar. The chiddush is that applies Rabbi Elazar's din. Once you chop it for Shabbos, and that which oozes out by itself is mutter on Shabbos applies even to zeis benavim, not just by honey. Okay, this is a very big. You say this to Commissioner. It's, I'm not sure why it's over here, honestly. I'm not sure how it shows up in the middle of the 22nd parak. It should have been, I would have assumed it earlier, by the Sigis of Bishol, back in the Daf Mems, by Erik Lebishin, Erik Kishani. But, okay, Kol Shabbat B'Cham Erev Shabbos, whatever is cooked in water, whatever is put in hot water before Shabbos, Sherinus B'Cham Shabbos. You let it put it back into water on Shabbos, which is another way, what we say today, Ein Bishol, Achar Bishol. Once something's cooked, it doesn't get cooked again on Shabbos. There's no Isser. Ein Bishol, Achar Bishol means there's no Isser of Bishol after Bishol. Once it's already cooked, there is no Bishol. We are Machmer on our rabbinic level, what you're allowed to do. There's also Dinim of putting into something into a matzah where it looks like it can cook. Could be a problem of nir, could be vashel. It's a shiel, a chatchila. There's different issues, but the me'ikar din on a derech level, once something was cooked for Shabbos, you could put it back in hot water on Shabbos, ein bishlach habishel. V'choshleba mecham erev Shabbos, anything which didn't come into hot water for Shabbos, madich nesem mecham erev Shabbos. You can rinse it with hot water on Shabbos. You can rinse it on Shabbos with hot water. Sounds like you do Erik Lebishin. However, and that's fine, but you can't put it into, you can't soak it in that water. Chutz mim aliyah chayashin, except for a certain type of salted fish, chulis espanis, and a certain type of Spanish mackerel fish, which we say, even that can be rinsed. Why? Shadachasin yigazuki mamlach. And this gets like, ganza back, we had touched on earlier, al kali abishal. Those get cooked, these are items that cook easily, and eri of hot water alone is enough to cook them, and that's marmalachtan, it's considered like an act of cooking, and therefore that would be usar on Shabbos, and that's actually the topic is going to ultimately take us to big agad to coming up. Let's start it. When we spoke about food that already was in hot water, it can be soaked further. Shabbos, Amr Safra, Gun, Tanagasta, Rabba, like the hand of Rabba, that they would soak for many days after cooking it, and then it would kind of like break into pieces. So you're allowed to re-soak it on Shabbos once it was cooked before Shabbos. Amr Safra, Zimna Chadik, Lassam, once I went over there to Rabba's house, and I saw Baikhlimene, and he gave us this dish, Rabba, Dashkin, Chamra, Batlas, Tarfi, and if Rabba wasn't there to give me a wine that was 3 years old to drink, Istasi, I would have thrown up. Apparently, he did not find the food appetizing at all. And if not for the fact that he was able to wash it down with some good wine, he would have thrown up. Similar idea. Rabbi Yechanan Reich, Makusa to Pavoy. Rabbi Yechanan was very Israel. He would spit whenever he thought about the Babylonian Kutach. It was for him, the food of the locale of Bavel was not appealing to him for very Israel. Amar Beis, Valeric Anan, Vitaragal, Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yechanan says, we too would spit from the Tarnagal of Rabbi Abba. V'aid, and furthermore, Amar of Gaza, Zimnecha de Klasa Hassam. One time I was there, and I saw Babli's Kutach Babli, and I prepared Kutach Babli, Shilimene Kol Brichid Barava. And all of the sick people of Eretzol came and begged me for it. So basically, he's saying, it became like a little bit of a turf war. You're saying Rabbi Yechon spit from the Kutach Babli. Rabbi Yosef, who was from Babel, said, we should spit from the Tarnagel of Rababa, of the hen of Rababa, that we find the Eretzol food repulsive. And furthermore, we have a story once someone came up to Eretzol and made the Kutach Babli, and all the people that were sitting at Eretzol came, and came to try to get a piece of it. Obviously, they weren't finding it as unappetizing as a Bechanan who would spit when remembering the Kutach Habavli. Okay. So the Marakosh Leibam Bacham, whoever Shabbat didn't come into hot water for Shabbos, was not able to go into hot water on Shabbos, but he could pour out water on it, besides for the salted fish and that Spanish espinas, the Spanish mackerel. Hediach Mai. So the Marakosh said, what if you did rinse the Spanish mackerel hot water on Shabbos? What's the Lacham? Rabbi Yosef, Hediach Chayv Chatas, Mamish Chayv Chatas, considered an act of Bishol. Amar Madre Avina, Avanam Tanim, Milut, Rabbi Yosef, Chutzam, Milich, Yashan, Fukus, Espinas. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Lashon adchas zuim gemar melachtan means it's gemar melachtan. It's mamish is cooking. Shmamin as hakaray that there is a chiyuv. There is a chiyuv, a proper chiyuv of bishul for even for just doing for pouring hot water over these fish. Yasser Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yosef came to Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yechon became Rabbanim. Rabbi Abba asking for the Rabbi Yechon was dozing off. I'm going to Rabbi Yosef four questions. I'm going to Rabbi Yosef. Why are the birds of Eretz Yisrael, the words of Bavel, sorry, fatter than those of Eretz Yisrael? He said, no, go to the Gaza area, the Gaza Midbar, and I'll show you birds that are even fatter than the ones of Bavel. So don't tell me the birds of Bavel are fatter. Why are the Baradim in Bavel more happy than those of Eretz Yisrael? Because the people of Bavel are poor, and therefore they, on Yom Tov in particular, it's more of a rejoicing for them. They have food, they have drink, they get food either for other people. It's more rejoicing. They forget their tzaras, and they're more rejoicing than Bavel and Eretz Yisrael because they are poorer throughout the year. Why Tamid Chamim and Bavel wearing beautiful clothing? The Mitzianim, okay, means they're distinctive in their clothing. Eretz Yisrael, they're not distinctive in their clothing. Because not Bnei Torah, Machlekes actually what this means. Simple means because the Tamid Chamim and Bavel are not Bnei Torah, so they have to dress up themselves with status of clothing because they don't have the Madrig of learning like Tamid Chamim and Eretz Yisrael, that the real stuff, the Torah itself, is enough to support them, give them the Cheshivas. Tamid Chamim and Bavel have to dress up more in order to compensate for the lack of caliber in Torah learning. However, Rakav Emden explains, no, we're not talking about the Midcham of Bavel. We're talking about the people of Bavel. The people of Bavel, unfortunately, didn't have proper kavod to Midchamim, the same way they did in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, in order for the people who are not Bnei Torah to respect the Midcham properly, the Midcham had to get dressed up. Not that the Midcham himself were on a lower level necessarily than the Midcham of Eretz Yisrael. Different shot from Rakav Emden. Okay. Why the Mizamim could always mean like smelly or not pure. They have like a Zuhama. Because they each got their matzim, that makes them have this zuma. It's sad. Rabbi Yechim woke up from these middle of hearing these questions. Amu said, "Dardiki, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you about the pasuk says, say to Chachma, you're my sister. In Baruch Hashem, if the matter is clear to you, like your sister, that it's usher, then say it. If it's not clear to you, just like the isser of one sister, so clear, then don't say it. By the way, why is that the mushel of a chesi of something clear? In Mamre, if something's usher like one sister, then don't then it's clear like that, then say it. If it's not clear like the Isser of one sister, why is this one sister the poster child of Isser that's clear? So the first is beautiful. I forgot where I sort of wrote down. They being beautiful that the sister is actually how the world was created, how the world got populated. Adam and Chava had children, and brothers and sisters had relations, and ultimately the world got populated from brothers and sisters. So there would be a logic to say that brothers and sisters specifically are mutter. The world wouldn't exist without brothers and sisters. Yet the Torah tells us brothers and sisters are usher, which tells us that it's not about our logic. Our logic would say that brothers and sisters are mutter, but the Torah tells us that it's usher. Terry Kelman says usher. So the point is, if it's clear to you that it's a Torah dikka svara, not my own svara that could be right, could be wrong. If it's clear to you, like a Torah dikka concept, like a sister, which initially I would have thought on my own it's mutter, and the Torah tells me usher, then say it. If it's not clear to you, it's adding the extra element that it's clear, and this is the das of the Torah, so to speak. So they said, you answer us the questions. Go through quickly, and we'll pick it up later. Why are the birds in Bavel? Why are they fat in the birds? Because they didn't go to the Golos. The birds of Eretz Yisrael did go into Galus. Tanya, Rabbi Daimer, 52 years, no one passed through Yuda. Shnebar, Alar Mesa, Bechi Venei, Ma'ifish Ma'ivad Beima Nadadu Halachu Behema. The word letters Behema, Beis Hey Mem Hey, is Bekmatcha Chamishu Tatanavu. It's Bekmatcha 52 years. So we see the 52 years. There was abandonment. They were abandoned from Eretz Yisrael. So we know that they went to Galus. So we see the birds, the animals, talk over there. But animals includes birds. Went to Galus for Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, they're not as fat. The animals above never went to Galus. Therefore, they're fatter. And all these animals that left their soul came back, except for the Kliyas Punkta Kavispanas, and that is how it comes about Asugya. It's the whole connection to Asugya. I believe that the Kliyas Kavispanas is the one that didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael. The slopes of Bavel, they returned the water back to Einatam, and therefore all the fishes that went into Gullus came back to Eretz Yisrael through this route. V'hai, however, this Spanish mackerel, because it doesn't have a backbone, it's strong enough. This is if you find like different types of salmon until today, people want salmon that they swim against the stream or only with the stream. This Spanish mackerel didn't have a strong enough backbone. It couldn't go against the current. It couldn't go against the stream from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it never came back. I think that's the whole connection to our sugya, why we're saying this Swagadza. So before we said, because they were on even Bavel, so it was like a little bit of reprieve from their regular heart day-to-day life. And it says the Gemara over here, Rabbi Yechon Hansen, Meshulay, Hayu Ba'isa Klala. They weren't part of the Klala Chsiv. Ishbati Kol Meshesha Chaga Chadasha V'Shabbat V'Chomeda. There was a curse that I'm going to end all the joy of the Yom Tov, the new months. That curse was set on Eretz Yisrael, not on Shabbos. Chsiv, Chashecha Medechem Sano Nafshi, Hayu Lele Tayrech. It's going to be feel like a chore, like a burden. My Hayu Lele Tayrech, Amar Lezer, Amar Gosh Baruch, Leidain Lissos, Shechait Lefanai, El Shematrich, Nasi Leida, Ezek Zer Kasha, Avilem. It's not good enough that they Kaiso did Averis in front of me, but they Matrich me to decide to show what type of decree I'm going to bring, what type of punishment I'm going to bring on top of them. Amar Bechanan, Ein Lechagol Regal Regal Shalei Basa, Belashat Zepari. There was never a regel in which a troop didn't come to Tzipori. Every time they had a regel, whenever there's a regel, some negative thing happened in the times when they were under the rule of the Goyim going into Golos. So some negative thing would happen by every Yomtiv. There's never a Yomtiv where a governor, ruler, official didn't come to Tveria to make either tax issues or to do worse to the people. Why they dress in nicer clothing than the ones that sell? Because they're not local. They're not local to the place where they're abanim. They're moving. They're traveling, and therefore, in order to establish themselves as to have status, they had to get dressed up. Dami inchi b'masa shamai. When in person's own name, in person's own city, his name is enough. But le'masa tzisvai. When he's not in his own city, his place is not enough. His name is not enough. He has to come on with other status. In this case, getting dressed in kosher clothing. Habam yashash yakav yatzitz ufarach yisrael. They have to make these tzitzin and prachim matayra. They have to kind of dress it up. We see, well, actually, forget it. They make tzitzin and prachim matayra means that they were yushamid chamim. Don't taishak, we said before, that they have to get dressed in clothing because they weren't, again, rakam didn't say this shot anyway, but according to the other mach, we explained before, that the tamil chamim had to get dressed up in bavel because they were not on the same level of Torah learning, so they had to get dressed up to compensate for lack of learning. Over here we see, at least tamil chamim bavel, they made tzitzin and prachim matayra. They made tzitzin and flowers for Torah. They dressed up terribly. They were a huge tamid chamim. It must be the reason why they needed adornments is because they weren't in the local the locales and their names were recognizable and therefore they had to dress themselves up to get more covered. Last question: Why the ayv chamim zuama? So I'm the Har Sinai. We had this earlier in Masechta because they weren't by Har Sinai and went by Har Sinai. The zuama left us. Shabbashah top of amalaf kufav amalaf atav shabbashah shabbanachas chava hit the zuama yisrael when nachash was bal chava he put a zuama into kai so I'm the Har Sinai. I'm sorry. Hit above Zuma. The Zuma was put into Chava. You saw Shabda Sinai Pascha Zumasan. You saw the one on Sinai. The Zuma was taken away from them. It was removed from them. The Zuma. Avichavim Shalem Da Sinai. The Pascha Zuma wasn't gone. We discussed earlier in Masechta, if you remember, that maybe Shechita of animal removes the Zuma. And that's why by fish. We said fish maybe still have Zuma. Why would fish have Zuma? Machlekes, what was the conversation over there? The conversation was whether you could use the fish hide, the skin of the fish, to use for your tefillin, right? Remember that conversation for your tefillin? And the reason was because maybe they have Zuma. Why do they have Zuma? Because they weren't by Sinai. They weren't by Sinai. Neither were the animals. The animals have Shechita. Fish don't have Shechita, and therefore maybe they're still concerned of Zuma. Same idea. Goyim weren't by Sinai, therefore they have Zuma. Amalei Racham Rav Lerbashi. Gerimai, what about Gerim? They weren't by Sinai. How did Zuma get rid of, how come they don't have Zuma? Amalei Afagav the Inu Lavu Mazlai Havi. Even though they weren't there, the Maslow said to Chsiv, that are first the Gerim that are destined to be here. Two beautiful Dukemis in this, we say Dayenu on Pesach, Sinai, Dayenu. So we say the Maimon Sinai, the first Mass, when we came to our Sinai and we didn't get the Torah, that would be enough. Ilu Karvano, that would be enough. And the answer is, according to this Gemara, beautiful, yes. I forgot, I think maybe the Ravid says it, maybe one of the Chorim, I forgot where I saw it from. But again, that the answer is yes. Going to our Sinai would get rid of the Zuma, and therefore Dayenu, we said Dayenu, just for getting rid of the Zuma, going for our Sinai even before Torah. A second diak is that the Gemara always refers to a ger shenisgayer. Why do we call him ger shenisgayer? It's a guy shenisgayer. Why is it ger shenisgayer? The answer is here too. That the gerim that were destined to be gayer were already yeshnai panu vesasher inen panu. They're mazos rebe harsinai, so they're geirim shenisgayer. They're not just tam geirim shenisgayer. They're geirim shenisgayer because their destiny was already set aside. Peshas harsinai. We'll plead to Rav Avraham Kana. Tam Rav Avraham Kana. Ashal shavus lepaskus zuma v'fasenu. For three generations, the zuma didn't leave our fathers. Avraham haylas Shmuel. Yitzchak had Esav. Yaakov had shnei maser. Shvatim shleiyam bem shem daifi. Avraham had Shmuel. Yitzchak had Esav. So there was still some zuma there, whereas Yaakov had was b'shalim. He had 12 shvatim without any daifi. That's when we see that the Zuma was gone. So according to the Zuma was gone long before Asina, it was gone already by Yaakov, long before Asina, that argues on this Malach Rabbi Yechanan that was saying that the Zuma was gone by Asina. We'll have to stop over here.